Before we turn to the book of Daniel, let's ask the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly as your people, recognizing that the only way we can know you is through you revealing yourself to us. And we ask you this evening that you would reveal yourself to us through the reading and preaching of your word, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, and that we would go out this evening loving you more. We pray this in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our passage this evening is from Daniel chapter 9, and we'll be reading verses 20 through 23. Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through verse 23. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God, for the holy hill of my God. While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. This ends the reading of God's word.
If you have your outline, I'd like you to follow along. Take notes. This outline will not be as perfect an outline as you are accustomed to, because I redid this sermon four times, including again this afternoon. So the outline isn't quite up to par that you have, but I'll try to keep you along with it. Now, the text for tonight has just been read, and the emphasis that you see by the title, which is You Are Greatly Loved, is this verse 23. As Daniel is praying, and Gabriel makes an appearance to him in this time of prayer, among other things, as he says to Daniel, you are greatly loved. Would you like to be greatly loved by God? Amen. I got a question for you, number one on your outline. This actually does work. Was Daniel greatly loved because he was so good? Write down the word good. And the concern there, if so, then is there hope for me? Because I'm not so good. Answer number one to that question is Daniel was highly esteemed. This word in Hebrew, which we'll talk about a little later, can mean loved or esteemed. One of the translations you have in your hand may use the word esteemed. And I intend to unfold this side of it next Lord's Day evening. That Daniel was esteemed for his great service, and you can expect that as well. Sermon next week. However, tonight there is a deeper, more basic reason why Daniel was so greatly loved. And that is because God is a God of love. And God is so good, not Daniel. We're dealing with here, underneath the text here, throughout all this book and on the whole Bible, of course, is the starting point that God's love and not Daniel's goodness is the basis for our being loved. Now, the word in Hebrew is the word you might hear some names like Hamad. That sounds a little Arabic, Hamad in Hebrew. And those cognates actually are the word covet. That may throw a few of you for a loop because of the 10th commandment. You're not to covet what does not belong to you. But actually, God covets or desires, longs for, loves the people that are his own. And all the faithful works that Daniel did we will then see in light of God's love for him. Now let's turn to Daniel's story. Look at your outline here. We're looking at review Daniel's great story. That's your point. The sermon tonight has to be relatively brief because of the supper, but I want to lay a few things on the table before next Lord's Day. Daniel was loved or saved because God is so good. You write that down under answer two. The starting point was God's love, and all his work was done as a result of God's love. Now, Daniel's story is like your story in this way. Daniel was a sinner. Not great news for you because you assume that, although you are maybe informed that none of Daniel's sins are listed in the book of Daniel. Of all the weaknesses and strengths of men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the different servants, David, Daniel is not presented in a sinful light. He's a sinner because he's the son of Adam, but he's not a sinner by any deed recorded. But in this sinner's life, he was privileged as you are privileged. So you're in the same box with him now, in that he was exposed to the Word of God. He was raised, maybe you weren't, but he was raised in a godly family and a covenant family. Even if you were not that, you were here tonight listening to the Word of God. And this is a grace of God that he learned the Bible. So just a quick scan, he learned Genesis. He had the Bible, at least up to the prophecy of Isaiah. Now, Genesis 3, of course, he learned that he and all mankind, or children of Adam and Eve, were never sinners. He was a sinner, he knew that much. But as the story unfolds in Genesis 3, he saw that promise of God. And that's your fill-in. He saw the promise of God. Sin, curse, promise. This promise of God sent a Savior, was later expanded by God's covenant given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And of course, he became an heir of that covenant. He learned of God's coming deliverance and loving deliverance. He learned of God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt in Exodus. He learned of God's atoning plan for sinners. What was that plan? Well, in the Old Testament plan, it was animal sacrifice. So the daily sacrifices, you see in verse 22, I think it is, the evening sacrifice in chapter 9, Daniel. He was attentive to the evening sacrifice. He was aware, through God's word, that sacrifice was needed for sinners. Not only did he learn things from the Bible, but he also experienced the love of God personally, as you have. Though he was exiled from the promised land with the rest of Judah because of their general breaking of God's covenant law, when Babylon came down from the north and smashed Judah and smashed the temple, and Nebuchadnezzar took back a lot of really educated and promising people, of which one was Daniel. And so in the midst of disaster and judgment, Daniel, like you, if you're a Christian, was spared. Spared death and brought back to live in the pagan land like you. There, God blessed Daniel, chapter 1, protected him. Daniel, chapter 2. Blessed Daniel with the ability to interpret dreams, through which gift he was able to spare his own life and the lives of all the wise men of Egypt, including our friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In chapter 3, because of Daniel's strong witness and leadership, and prayer support, these three godly Hebrew children, when they were commanded to bow down to a great image of Nebuchadnezzar, refused, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace, but God spared them. They came out of the furnace not even smelling like smoke. And Daniel was a part of that story. Blessed by God to be a prophet to these men, a priest to these men, and even a, And many came to the Hebrew children there in the foreign land. Chapter 6, Daniel experienced God's love when he, taking another stand for God, was thrown into the lion's den. You know the story well, and the love of God to Daniel there. Chapter 7, following chapter 7, the visions that God gave Daniel. These visions of God to Daniel were for the people and for us to learn the future. Daniel was so anxious and concerned about the future, he learned from Isaiah's prophecy, see chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, that 70 years were attached to this exile in Babylon. So he's praying about the future, and then in answer to prayer, God gave him, beginning of chapter 7, visions of the future. And in chapter 9, the love of God inside of Daniel motivated him to pray. You weren't with us for all the studies, but the whole chapter 9 is a lengthy prayer of Daniel on behalf of the people of God. He perceived the length of the sojourn in Babylon. He began to pray, verse 3, or rather, verse 3 of Daniel 9. And he turned his face to the Lord, and he prayed with fasting and with tears and with urgency, with length, with repetition, arguing before God, even as our Savior would do later for us. Daniel was like a type of Christ in that way. Now we come to our text in Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. Notice again in chapter 9, verse 20, while I was speaking, I was praying, confessing my sins, the sins of my people Israel, presenting my plea before God, or the holy hill of Zion. While I was speaking in prayer, a man, Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision not at first, came to me in the swift light at the time of the evening sacrifice. Now you need to take pause here, because the theology that Daniel learned from Moses' writings about the evening sacrifice for sins tells us that though he had not been in attendance because he was exiled from Judah, actually the temple was destroyed, there was no sacrifice, his mindset was on evening worship. That wasn't intended as a cheap shot, but his mind was set on the evening sacrifice, where atonement for sin was made. And here he is attentive to God in prayer at the time of evening sacrifice, when God met him through the angel Gabriel. So Daniel knew that God was gracious. This verse 23 now gave Daniel great confidence, as commentator Ralph Davis points out. This is Gabriel speaking. Maybe verse 22. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, now this is what he says to Daniel, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. We'll look at that in due time. 23. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, the beginning of your plea, a word went out, and I've come to tell it to you. What is that word? Here's the word. You are greatly loved. Pause there. That is our text. You are greatly loved. Now you see, as Ralph Davis points out, this verse greatly encouraged Daniel to continue his ministry of prayer. Because he was greatly loved by God, that all the people of God are greatly loved, he was bold to pray for God's rescue. Now, my point for the sermon, that God's love for Daniel was a foundation for all his ministry, including this ministry of intercession and prophecy. Now, in your outline, notice the word transition. Daniel's greatly loved, but only for Jesus' sake. Daniel was greatly loved, but only Jesus Christ and his coming fully revealed the love of God for sinners. I want to spend the balance of our time showing you how what Daniel believed and knew was small about the love of God compared to what you now know through the New Testament. So the rest of my sermon is simply the whole New Testament. just a few points, really. And I want to make the point, Daniel was greatly loved, but his great love of God for God for him was made more manifest in the book of in the New Testament in Christ's coming. Turn with me to the familiar book of Ephesians, where Pastor Downey has been preaching for us. Go to chapter 1. I think it's worth your time to turn there. Ephesians chapter 1, though it's really a well-known text, I have a few things to emphasize. Reading in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and I'll emphasize a few things as we go along, but notice the focus of this is what we know about God's love through Christ's coming. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're in the new covenant now, in the time of fulfillment of the old promises. God who has blessed us in Christ. You can note that in your mind. All our blessings are in and through Christ. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And all you ever want to get of God's love is here. Even as he chose us, that's God's love, chose us in him, as in Christ, before the foundation of the world. You capture that? Before you did anything, God, your believer, set his love on you. I don't know if Daniel knew that. He might have known that, but we know it clearly now. Chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. That should take a sermon or so right there. We know people who have adopted children. You have some of you. And to know that that translates into the Christian theology as we have been adopted by God, who were aliens from God. You knew yourself back in the early days. Would you ever think that God would adopt you intentionally? He did so purposefully, having predestined your adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Verse, is it 6? To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Know the capital B that refers to Jesus. Continuing that theology, verse 7, in him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Now, this is the love of God for you. Here it is. In him, we have redemption, that is forgiveness of our sins, deliverance from hell, through his blood, through Jesus' blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he's lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Now, all of this, you see, is Paul's prelude, theological statement to the book of Ephesians we are studying in the morning services. And the sum of it for tonight's emphasis is, this is a written record and explanation of how greatly you are loved by God. You feel unworthy? That's good. Because you are unworthy. We are all unworthy. And that's what makes it such amazing grace. How sweet this sounds. Now, Stephen Lawson, in commenting on this concept, said, think how long your name has been on the mind of God. All your life long? All your parents' life long? Or your grandparents' life, and so on. Back to before the earth was created, before there's anything here, God had given your name to his son Jesus. Now I would say that is greatly love. I want to turn to the next page. I'm cheating a little bit here, but chapter 2, verse 4. Just strengthening Paul's point for your edification. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, His great love, wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. You see, it is by grace that you have been saved. Amen? Let me just take a break from the epistles and think of a story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13. Don't have to turn there, but I just read in your margin. Matthew 13, 45, 46. In explaining the kingdom of God, Jesus used many different pictures, parables, pictures. In this one, in Matthew 13, 45, he said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great price, of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought this one pearl. What's the point? Jesus Christ, who had all the riches of heaven, as the King of heaven, as the Son of God, became a pauper and bore our sins under the wrath of God that we deserve. So we buy with his blood, he could purchase us from death to life, from Satan's kingdom to God's kingdom. This is how greatly you are loved. God the Father said about his Son, "This is my beloved Son." And he gave his beloved Son so you might become beloved children of God. Now, there are a couple things I want you to take away from this. The overriding point, of course, is that if you're in Christ, write that down, you are greatly loved. God greatly loves you. And you need to take that with you in your trials. I worked on this sermon four times. I don't think I've ever done that before. And at the end of it, I said to myself, "Hey, buddy, you're greatly loved." Oh, okay. I guess I can get through the sermon. Do we actually think, day by day, or day to day, how greatly loved we are? Maybe we don't pray as we ought because we forget how greatly loved we are. Maybe we don't search the Word of God and live a godly life and share what we have with other people because we actually don't dwell upon the fact that we are greatly loved. We are preparing ourselves for the table now. It's all about this message. You receive the elements. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. That here is his emblem. For you, that you are greatly loved. Let's pray. O God in heaven, we ask that we may indeed treasure what you have told us in your word, and that it's not just Daniel, but it's all who are in Christ, all people that you have given to Jesus, all people who have in history found your love and confessed faith in your love and given themselves to your worship, all are greatly loved. As we come to this table, Lord, deepen our faith and our joy in you so that you receive even more praise and thanksgiving. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.